Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Somebody shout and overcome us, yeah. Hallelujah. Shout a big hallelujah. Shout a big hallelujah. Shout a big hallelujah. Shout a big hallelujah. The shout of victory. The shout of the overcomers. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Listen, some people are still waiting to hit the 31st of this month before they become convinced that there is a new year. But no one possesses the future in the future. Everything we are doing in these 14 days of waiting upon the Lord is to seek Him so that He can secure a way for us. Because 2026 will not be like other years. It is a year for those who have the advantage of power. So I don't want you to be careless. I want you to be mindful so that you can see what God is doing. This is not that year where your praise will be on the low side. If you want to praise Him, praise Him well. You don't apologize for praising your God. If you get into a bus and the thing is doing you one kind, raise the song. Somebody there who is also there, somebody will join you. Remove that tie. You are too serious. Remove that jacket. We are getting ready to praise and see the angels of God, the ones that fought on the day that Nehemiah went to war. Ezekiah. The day he went to war and got there and noticed there was no battle to fight again. Those are the angels we are working with in 2026. But those angels don't respond outside the atmosphere of radical praise. They don't go there. You can pray, no problem, but if you need us, the password is praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to create a lot of space for God in this new year. Because God is not a man. He's not a man. One of the strongest revelations you can get about Him is that your limitation is not His limitation. Your weakness is not His weakness. He is not a man. I traveled to a particular state in Nigeria recently, and a lady came to visit me at the hotel with her husband, and she had had surgery for 3 months, but where she was operated on refused to heal, and the doctors could not explain it. So she had to keep going back to the hospital every week for dressing. So we were playing and, you know, just having fun in the room. And when they were going, I said, let's pray. And then she called me 2 weeks ago and she said, I got back to the hospital and everything, she's completely healed. And I told her, I said, this is the first sign that you have been remembered. There is one other miracle, the one that man has said will not be possible. This one that he did without having to take you back into the OR is the first sign. There is another miracle coming. And that's how she was healed. That's why I told you, make room for him. He is not a man. Your fear is not his fear. Your bank account balance is not his bank account balance. Come on, say amen. God can trouble a man. He will not sleep until he... And he says, stop disturbing me. Send me your account number. You didn't call him. You didn't call him. And it's not anything. No, it's just that God wants to do Christmas for you. Say, my son, you have been very faithful. As a father to a son, this 25 million. Just manage. Just manage this one. Believe me, money is the least that God can give to you. So as we spend the next 1 hour here, remove every limitation. Because there is a false version of Christianity I've seen in Nigeria and in Africa that compels a man to keep praying but never seeing answer. They will tell you, keep praying. If you are praying and praying, and every prayer has a timeline. Every problem should have an expiry date. If you have prayed and prayed and you are not seeing, then we need to investigate. Peradventure, maybe it's not prayer you need, maybe it's wisdom. Because God gave you brain, he will not cook for you. If you are lazy, prayer cannot work for you. Even if they lay hand and leg, it will not work. Because some things answer to prayer. Some things answer to hard work. It is those who are skillful that stand before kings. Huh? Not those who don't know how to cook. So if the Lord asks you now, okay, forget the Lord. If a man asks you now, what can you do? So you realize that the problem is not the blessing. The problem is that you can't do anything. Or you can't do anything sufficiently enough for anyone to call it excellent. People can do things, but to the point where somebody is willing to say, I want to pay for this thing. So this year that we are coming into, if I know you and I have your phone number, I will push you. And you may fall on the express if you don't listen to me, because we must take away mediocrity. Yes, sir. I spoke to a young brother who is from the north, and he got a job in GT Bank. So we met at where's my wife? We are the one that used to go. There's this on Ozumba. Where's this place where we go for buffet? Is it Radisson that is on the Zumba? So we met there. And I asked him, I said, now that you are here, what are you going to do with your life? He said he wants to resign and go back to the north and become a teacher. I said, why? He said, because he wants to be among the brethren. He wants to... I can't help you. Your mediocrity is too much for me. God gave you a job so that your family can be helped. But you are not comfortable because you came in the midst of great men and realized that, this blessing is too much. I want to go back to a place where everyone is like me. So I told him, I said, give you 6 months, but my job is not to change your mind, because your story will either be a testimony or a warning to others. Have your seat. Please, I will need you on that. Anyway, I am not his pastor, so So he's free to be anything he wants to be. But if I'm your pastor, I will push you. Out of this community in the next 1 year, many of you will come out with very strange inventions. Please help me with that. Chapter 4, and I want you to please give me your attention. When he was baptized by John, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, there is no experience that Jesus beckons to us that he himself didn't experience as a mortal man. Jesus became filled with the Holy Spirit when he was baptized by John. That is symbolic of what we will refer to today as the new birth experience. When a man comes to Jesus and in the Islamic world we say that you say the Shahada, but that's not what we are doing here today. See, to become a Muslim, there is also something you have to say. And the scripture says, Romans chapter 10, he said, you will declare that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. You believe in your heart and you declare it with your mouth. So everybody is saying something. But it's amazing the level of honor that was found in the life of John. When Jesus came to him and said, I must be baptized by you. Now, what you read, what you read is not, it's a summary, but what really happened is what I'm telling. Because when you read the scriptures and you are guided by the Holy Spirit, you will see some things. When Jesus said to John, he said, I must be baptized by you. What John was saying is, I am not even worthy to untie the lace of your shoes. Excuse me, John didn't say it, he practiced it. You didn't get what I said? When John was saying, I am not worthy, he was actually going on his knees to say, this your sandals, I cannot take it off your feet. I am too small. I was chosen for it, but it's too much for me. We are talking about how to encounter the hand of God. When I read the scriptures, I read it in a way that I am able to see that event in my mind. Say, I'm not able. So before John baptized Jesus, he first knelt down and asked for permission. Say, don't let my ministry not end here today. Please forgive me first, because I'm about to commit a sacrilege. I'm about to do what nobody has ever done before. Say, no. Do it so that righteousness may be what? Fulfilled. And Nigerians picked up that phrase and made it into something that God wasn't saying. So just do it for right, for to fulfill all right, just do it. Call a cow brother so that you can have somewhere to pass on the road, you know. That's not Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, if this process, and again I need you to hear me, Jesus was describing a spiritual process. It wasn't just the physical activity of entering into the water and coming out. It was what that exercise represented to him and to God that was very important. In other words, I cannot come into my ministry until I am set into my ministry. I must be placed into my ministry. I can't just, there is a difference between the calling and the commission. You may be called by God to do something, but until you are commissioned, you are not ready to start. Jesus was called before the foundations of the world. Even when he was going to be born, angels confirmed it. But God needed a mortal man to lay his hands over the heads of Jesus, dip him into water. What your pastor would do today and say, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in quote. So you need to ask John what he said. Most likely what he was saying, God, have mercy on me. This thing I'm about to do, God, have mercy on me. He stood in his office and he laid hands on Jesus and he dipped him in the water, signifying the new birth experience, which everyone who will come to Jesus in the future will have to go through. And that is why we still believe in the water baptism today, because of that representation. Not baby baptism, not child baptism, not baptism after death. It must be a conscious decision after you have made a decision to follow Jesus. That's not where I'm going today. When he was dipped in water, the scripture says, as he came out of the water, in fact, the scripture, put up, if you have that section in Luke chapter 4, please put it up, where he was being baptized. You need to stay on that key for me, sir. I think that should be chapter 3, I think. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. Luke chapter 3, 21 and 22. Do you have it? Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized, and what? So when he was going into the water, there was an account that Luke captured that the other writers did not capture. It was that as Jesus was being baptized, he was praying in his understanding, but what I'm saying is that his heart was gravitating towards God. As he was being dipped in water, he didn't go in wet, dry, and come out wet. He was going, this is the first phase of why I came to this world. I cannot go empty. I cannot come like this. I cannot come anyhow. Every time you are at the precipice of a new season, you must enter that season with prayer. Every time you can sense that God is about to usher you into something new, something big, don't go carelessly. I know you have heard God. I know God spoke to you through seven angels, but don't go. I know you have the maths and the formulas. Everything has been sorted, but don't go in carelessly. You go in akasala shata yasa robefesa nekondosa lebra. Somebody might be holding your hand like John the Baptist, and is leading you in the way, but don't go carelessly, because the seriousness of the man of God is not your seriousness. So you must watch the person in front of you. He was praying, and as he was praying, his head was going into the water. For this cause I was born, that everyone who will believe in me will find salvation and will be redeemed and be cleansed of their sins. I am ready. Help my infirmity. I am ready. He was praying and he was going into the water. And as he was coming out, the evidence that you have prayed is that the heavens opened. Every time you say you prayed, the evidence that the heavens have recognized your prayer is that what? There will be open heavens. Put up that scripture. The scripture says that when in verse, he said, and it came that Jesus being baptized and praying, then the heavens what? They open. Next verse. And the Holy Ghost descended. Now, what you saw here was a description of how he came. He descended in a bodily shape, which means he was visible. It was a spiritual, it was visible. John saw it. Jesus saw it. The others did not see it. Because you see, spiritually, you must understand that there is a spiritual body. You have a spiritual body, right? And can I tell you, you have a spirit, but you have a spiritual body that is kept for you in heaven. The body you will wear when Jesus comes, he will come with that body. That body is like his own. The one that death has no power over. The one that sickness have not. But the scripture said, for you have a body that is reserved for you in heaven. That body is being kept in a suit. With your name on it. Oh, glory to God. You are not seeing it. You are not seeing it. I said in heaven, there is a segment in heaven. Guarded every day by angels. It's a section of bodies. Spirit bodies. The body you will wear, because this your body is not compatible with heaven. And this your spirit has been structured in a way to only wear a body to survive here. But you see, to enter the heavens, there is a resurrection body that will be given on that day. You have not worn it yet. That one, when you wear it, you will feel immortality. You will know that death has no power. Don't live for this earth. There is a body that has been kept and reserved for you. In that day, whether you are black or white will not matter. Oh, we are a new body. You will wear a new body that is not, that cannot be tainted. When Jesus died and resurrected, he was given a new body. That body could pass through walls. He would talk to them, and the disciples were meeting. He just walked through the wall and came out. Ha! That was the Jesus that John would put his head on his shoulder and be singing worship song. Come and try it. That was the body that John saw in Revelations, and he saw that Jesus didn't have eyeballs. His eyeballs were flames of fire. That's the spirit body. So you will have an element that will be significant to your spirit body. For some, it will be flames. For some, it will be like water, like ice. You know, but this time there was a description. There was a description. He said it's like a dove, which means the Holy Ghost came upon him gently. He didn't fall under the anointing, but he got something. The way it came, do you know the way a dove lands on a wall? Then it perches softly. It is the one who received it that will know. Others may think, you may think you are sitting close to her, but she got something and you did not. Because of her posture. Spiritually, you cannot get anything beyond your posture. The way you stand before him, the way you are ready, hungry, and yearning for him, will determine. If you came for a program here, you have missed it. If you came for a divine programming, you will find it. The Spirit of God came upon him like a dove. Gently. Peacefully. And it descended on him. And then a voice came out of heaven. Say, this one is my beloved. The one I love. This is the one I love. God called Abraham his friend, but he never called him my love. Another way of saying this, this is my love. My beloved. Not beloved. Beloved. There's an attitude to it. My beloved. There's a man of God that I know in Ghana. He calls his wife my beloved. The thing, when he says it, it has a Ghanaian touch to it. My beloved. God beloved is Bible. But this beloved, there is an attitude. You are emphasizing something. He said, this is my beloved son, and I am so very pleased with him. What was it about the life of Jesus? He had never preached a message. He had never worked a miracle. He had not done anything of significance, in quote. And the Father said, this one, I love him so much. And that will say, I have missed you. You've been away for 30 years. When are you coming back? I still want to stay a bit in the UK. Come home now. There are some children, when they go, say, just go. Just go. Just don't commit any crime where you are. But I will not come and look for you. But there are some people. And there are men who call their wives and say, where are you? But it's not because they miss their wives. There's nothing to it. So when you go home, ask your husband, all that time you keep calling. What is it really about? Is it that you miss my presence, or is it food? But for most men, it's food. I have to be honest with you. For most men, it's food. Say, where are you now? Where exactly are you? Say, I'm already around the neighborhood. Say, where? Say, I'm in front of her. I say, okay. Just checking on you. You bloody liar. You are checking on you. I'll be hungry. Don't they wire you? the voice came. Let me tell you, when a man becomes a Christian, it's the same experience. Paul was describing this when he said that when a man comes to God, the first thing that God gives to him is a witness in his spirit, crying, Abba. That is the first signal you suddenly know, I am a child of God. Maybe you've been praying and you've been coming out for repent sinner's prayer, but that day you get it, there will be a witness. You just know that, today I have found it. I am a child of God. It is God's voice in your ears telling you, I own you. I am your real father. I am your real father. I know you. Before you were formed in the belly of your mother's womb, I knew your name. The name your parents gave you is not the name I gave you. Your own real name is Elijah. You're a man of fire. And the book of Revelation explains this to us, that there is a name you will be given. That name will be known. God will write it on a stone and say, take. They don't use all those papers, these cheap things, iPads. Those things are very cheap in heaven. Nobody uses them. You are the one spending your money on iPhone 17. Nobody cares about them. They write on stones. Because whatever is established on the stone, it scribbles, it scratches on it. So nobody can take it out and gives it to your name. You say, look at it. And you will be able to pronounce it. Because it's the name that the heavens have given you. It's the name that symbolizes your own authority. How come a Jesus, a carpenter, a builder of houses, and all of a sudden he goes for a church service, he walks into a meeting and meets a pastor or a prophet or an apostle named John? You know, nobody even knows who bears that kind of name, but that's his name anyway, John. Not Elisha, not Elijah, not Zechariah, not Nehemiah, not Samuel, John. There is no L in the name. There is no L, the God, the essence. There is no Eli, John. But that's the person God chose to baptize Jesus. Someone with a weird name. Someone that when he was given the name, the family asked, nobody has. Which one is Elijah in 2025? Elijah. Don't you have like Brian, Jason, Lovett, Sylvia? What's John? Pastor Lukoya, you know he struggled before he got there, his son. The day they gave birth, he did not wait for naming ceremony. He just laid hands on the boy. Your name shall be called Elijah. I said, well done. It's a man of war. You will continue because you have to fight. I fought before I got you. So in case you are mistaken, your name is Elijah. Okay, your name is prophecy. You are bearing Brian. You that your name, your destiny was prophesied. You did not see Chidi Ebere. You did not see Anolu Akpo. Say Brian. What is Brian? I don't know. What? Nameless, meaningless. No, the meaning there's no. If you ask ChatGPT, you give 1 minute. Ask Cloud, you give another one. Ask Gemini. They don't know what the Chidi Ebere is. Chidi Ebere. There's nobody. If you don't know, ask the people of the language. They will tell you. Brian. Nobody should bring that name to this church next year. But this is where I'm going. Well, what is in a name? That's what the white man said to me. What's in a name? can call your child stone. Doesn't matter. Yes, sir. The name of John was given to him by inspiration. For him to receive that name, God cut off his father's communication channels with men so that he can hear something new. The name of Jesus was also given by an angel. Do you know there are some of us here, our parents had some very unusual experiences before they gave birth to us, but they forgot it. They gave birth to you and they brought shekpe and were sharing it on your naming ceremony. But you are a child of prophecy. Do you know that your destiny is only new to you? It's not new to the one who made you. That if you are not walking in alignment with God's plan, God is looking at the investment he has made. You are the one who thinks you found yourself in Nigeria. Should we repackage you and send you to Iraq? I don't know why you are complaining. Here you can drag your president. If you go to some of those, before you talk, they pick you. It's not by accident that we are very loud. Our voice was made for nations.
Yes, sir.
And those ones who say we are too loud, look at them. See what's happening to them. When Jesus got out of the water, the Spirit of God came upon him and he had a voice. That voice confirmed to him his divinity, his sonship. That song, that sound he heard confirmed to him that you are not the son of Joseph. Joseph is your earthly father, but your genes don't come from him. Can I ask you, where do your spiritual genes come from? And it may surprise you that someone can stay with you for 2 years and his spiritual chemistry will be recalibrated. When anybody sees him, they'll say, ah, were you trained by Brother Pat? Say, it's obvious. The way you pray, the way you teach, your emphasis. For instance, you can't say, maybe I'm your spiritual father and you are raising money. Say, God said there are 10 people here that want to give 10,000. I didn't train you. It's not about prayer. Just have faith. You need faith and you need prayer. So, but I didn't train you. You are a vagabond. There are certain things that speak to spiritual genealogy. Do you know that the same way God introduced himself to Jesus at that water baptism? Do you know that in the same way, when Adam opened his eyes for the first time, God was the first person he saw? Yet Adam failed. Your first encounter is not enough. Please note what I'm telling you. Those people you look at today and you say they are no more serious Christians. When he came out, he heard a voice. That was the same voice Adam also heard, but Adam failed. When the serpent spoke to Eve, Eve said something, but she didn't sound like she had convictions. It was easy for the serpent to dissuade her. And I want to ask you, how far will the devil push your buttons today before you begin to question the things you have believed for years? How long? What situation can the enemy put you in and you now begin saying, is God even real? the moment you get to that bus stop, you step back, because the fool see it in his heart. So the first sign of a fool is not foolishness. It's not the display of foolish talk. It's his spiritual posture. The moment you enter that posture, where in your heart you begin to think, we are all serving the same God. It's the way we are serving him that is different. You're a fool. A fool is not a foolish man. A fool is a man whose thoughts don't align with scripture. Simple. Because many foolish people are very smart. That I know, when they talk, very convincing. So it's a good day for you as you enter into 2026 to ask, what is the percentage of foolishness in me? Because sometimes you are looking out there, but you need to look inside. And tell the Lord, rid me of foolishness. If truly the Lord says, I will bless you and make you a name, and you didn't struggle with that prophetic word, then the Lord says, today, empty your account and give it as an offering to me. Don't go into 2026 with one error. Maybe it's God, what pastor is saying. No, it's God that is talking to you. It's not what I'm saying. It's what God, you are going to. And if God wants to make your life difficult, say you and your wife. What is he saying? Fast into the new year. Some of you don't, you see, the version of God you were introduced to is the reason why you are behaving like this. Now, I would think that if the Spirit of God was in this meeting now, as he's here, and then I just say the brother standing over there, like I would do, like you say, so the Spirit of Lord say, and he falls under the anointing, say, I would say, oh, well, he has confirmed the word. But as he is rising from the floor, put up that scripture. Luke chapter 4, where the next verse after where the Spirit of God this was the same person, same service, so when the Spirit came upon him, people are saying, God, when will my own encounter come? God, if I want to have this kind of so that I can be sure that it is God, that all those things I'm hearing is not my mind. Let this prophet also speak. And while you are speaking, I said, the Lord said, and I start confirming the words in your heart. And you say, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, amen. Finally, you start shouting, God has done his own. As he was praising God, look at the next one. I say, Jesus. Before he came, he wasn't full of the Spirit. Now he came to the meeting and God poured himself into him. You cannot do this work without me. God poured himself. That thing that people saw like a little dove. That, because a dove is supposed to be very handy, portable. What people referred to as small was what the Bible said, full of the Holy Ghost. So the descriptions of men don't always measure up. What did John see? A dove. Jesus saw a dove. But what God said was, what I gave you is my fullness. And I say this to disabuse everybody's mind who thinks that except the activity is spectacular, except you fall under the anointing and roll on the floor, except something might, and those things will happen. Get ready next year. Go and buy your jeans and everything and be ready. Because we'll break some chairs here. But in case you are thinking, in case you are still thinking that except those things happen, God did not come to you. Let me also announce to you that when Jesus was full of the Spirit, it was a small dove. He did not fall. Don't make an idol out of falling under the anointing. Those things are good. They are necessary. But be very careful. There's a very thin line. Some people don't, they even choose to fall, even when there is no falling. Once you just lay your hands on them, oh, he has touched me. For me to receive the full, I have to fall and allow the Holy Spirit to walk on me. Only right, she shared that.
Yes.
So they will lie down there and as if, oh guy, you better get up. We want to lock our door and go. Now this is where I'm going. The Holy Spirit came on him, and there was an announcement. But the first activity of the Holy Spirit was not to play with him. Are you with me? Because I am emphasizing this thing slowly, because like I was sharing with the prayer team this morning, if you don't know the nature and the character of person you are living with, you won't know why the Holy Spirit will be leaving the house for you, because you are not a big man. In Nigeria, if you are upset with your wife, she's the one that will pack out. In the UK, where I come from, it is a man. Shebi, you're a man. Leave the house. So if I was in London or US, if I marry you, sign prenup. Sign. In case you want to go, my house is my house. Go and be mad anywhere, but leave my house and leave my cars. But I don't need it here, because in Nigeria, men are the one running the show. But maybe very soon it will change. But that one doesn't concern me. It's those that want to get married now that have that problem. And this thing I said now is not about your wife. It's about the Holy Spirit. Because some of you like stories. I said, the first thing the Holy Spirit did in his life was to begin to train him. You cannot be anything tangible in the hands of God if he doesn't train you. God doesn't assume your training. He doesn't think that, oh, because he worked in a bank, he will be a good pastor. No, sir. He doesn't assume it. God doesn't assume that because your father is a pastor, that your life will come out well. No, he doesn't. If God wants to use you, he will commission your training. Please, are you still here? We are rolling into 2026, because I want you to know, whether you went to school or not, if you take God seriously, God will do something with your life. Yeah, that's what I've discovered. Because when men missed God, they began to glorify certificates. When men missed God, we now made it look as seem that if one did not go to school, God cannot use him. Sir, I came to tell you that Ayo Babalola today, in today's world, we would have called him a semi-illiterate man. But that man became so anointed and powerful that they made songs out of his name. Songs. The revival in the Southwest today, the power of witchcraft that was broken over the Southwest today is because of that man. He didn't come to Lagos, he went to Elisha. Lagos would have been the best place for him. He went to Elisha and he prayed and he challenged the witches. Broke their back. He prayed and many people were getting healed. When there was no time, he looked at the river in that community and stretched his hands and prayed. And he walked away. Days, weeks after he left, people were coming from Akure. They were coming from Ilorin. They were coming from Lagos. They withdraw their sick ones from the hospital. They would just take them to that river, just take a sip of that dirty water. And people were getting healed. In a raining season, a river was made dry. People excavated that water till the river became empty. It became a bare land. And when people got there and saw that there was no water, they started packing. See, pack it like that. Go and put it inside water and drink. People are getting healed. That was Ayo Babalola. A man whose name demons ran away, not Jesus. I say, if God lays hold of your life, if God lays hold of your life, he will make you an example of what happens when he truly touches a man. We are still acting. We are still acting. We are forming. He hasn't touched us. The day he touches us, the first sign you will see is that there will be a voice. The second sign is that he will separate you from every other person. The moment he came on Jesus, there was a crowd. After that service, wilderness. You can't have a different experience, sir. Except it's not this Jesus you are following. The Jesus that started in the wilderness. You want to start in the palace. I didn't call you. He will separate you. Because the first, when he chose Paul, Paul was still, you know, enjoying the Holy Ghost. He took him into the wilderness of Arabia for 3 years. All those things, you know, because we want to use you. And when we release you, we need to be sure you are representing us. This wilderness, this season of training, because the wilderness has to do with your training, it will be hard, it will be difficult. It's why many Christians are crippled today. They are like the butterfly that never matured. Because somebody told them God is good. They didn't tell them God is just. God is justice. If God did not bypass that stage for his son, he will not for you. You may come from a very rich family and he will tell you for the next 4 years, don't ask them for one naira. And then you begin to fellowship with Gary and Granite. You will have fruits. You may have money, you may be rich. You will have so many, now you open your freezer, so many lovely things. And yet, the one who has called, you say, don't touch it, it's for your children. So what should I drink? Say, be blending ginger and lemon and be drinking. That's your breakfast. Be drinking. Sir, there's an apple, we have strawberry. Said, I told you that's not for you. If he wants to make it hard, you will be in the midst of those things and you can't touch it. And you think it's wicked. There are many people that went ahead like that. They did not survive. What was the first thing God took away from Daniel? Food. This place you have found yourself is not good for men like you. If you want to survive, you will not eat. Can you imagine finding yourself in New York at the United? You got a job at the United Nations, and God says for the first 2 years, don't take coffee in this. Cappuccino and all those. And your friend say, come on, let's go out for coffee break. Coffee break. Say, this girl is weird. She doesn't do coffee. They say, I wish they know that you're a coffee person. There are things you will receive from the Lord, and they are for you, not for your wife. There are things you will receive of the Lord, and they are not Bible doctrine. It's just your training. It's your sir. What I will say, we are training you. It's not in the Bible, because you see other people enjoying and God is using them. When the Holy Spirit took him, because we are talking about how to encounter the hand of God. You know, the Spirit of God is likened to the hand of God. When the hand of God rested upon him, what most of us were taught, we Pentecostals, we are taught, is that what? We fall down under the anointing. In those days, the Orthodox churches, when the hand of God comes on a man, they will go and register in seminary. Because now they know that they need to learn about God. Yeah. We fell down, and after a while, they shook your hand. Ah, congratulations. Congratulations. Say, wow, the way you fell was powerful. We fell at prophetic convocation. We fell at Harvest World Maryland. Then you went to Mark O.D. at God's Servant Apostle. You fell again. Sir, the day you stop falling is the day your training will start. That thing you are playing, sir, brother me, you need to be, I need your fingers. There's something I'm not feeling in that. I want to run us through the requirement that the Holy Spirit placed on Jesus in Luke chapter 4. Because if you want to get it right, you must find the one person that represents perfection as far as God is concerned. You must find that one person that did it well. You must find that person in your industry that has broken all the records and is like the what we refer to as the pattern song. In other words, if you can be like this person, you are okay. And that person for us is Jesus. It's Jesus. So let's look quickly. What was it about the person of Jesus that even though the Holy Spirit came upon him, yet God could not use him like that? And I hope you know that anything that happens to him is because of us. Jesus did not commit any crime. We are the ones that went about eating things we should not eat. We ate till we were sent out of the garden. And some of us are even still eating now. A pastor said, "Man of God, I don't joke with my belly. As you are looking at me, when I fast and I'm hungry, I eat." I say amen, sir. God bless you, sir. There was a man in history known as Jack, J-A-C-K, Coe, C-O-E. Go and research him. There were very few young men in America. I think it was American that was as anointed as that man. And when I say few men, I added Billy Graham, Benny Hinn, what was this woman? Katrin Kuhlman. I add all those people together and I repeat what I said. There were very few men in American history that were as anointed as that young man. You can imagine someone like Pastor Adeboye goes to the redemption camp and gathers 20 million. Jacko was in his early 30s. He would gather 25. And he wasn't popular. He wasn't moving with big men. But he was a man that found God's presence. He found it in a very unique way. But he died, I think maybe 35. He died very young. What was his problem? He loved food. Maybe one of the things we'll do this new year is that we'll have sessions, we'll come online, we'll talk about revivals and history. Not our Tuesday service, so we'll just maybe Wednesday. We'll come online and we'll review history, the revivals and men who God used in the past, and look at how God used them. Because sometimes if you are not familiar with your history, and I'll also talk about men in Africa, in other countries in Africa that God used. I'll talk about men in Nigeria that many of us are not in the northern Nigeria, northern part of. I will talk about men that God used that are not in your history books. Your book is not complete. You need to get to heaven to see the accurate history book. That one you are studying is not complete. Quickly, let's look at the three tests. Please understand that when the Spirit of God, please look at, give me this scripture in Amplified, the regular Amplified. No, give me, there's a particular version that says, and this, it was the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. That version is very significant because it captures, well, if you find it, let me know. That version said it was driven, D-R-I-V-E. That meaning that as though he was being pursued. Go. Don't look back. Go. He was being asked, come back. You know, it's as though, don't stay too long in this encounter. Don't stay here before people start collecting your number. You see, I saw the way God was. Man, we have a revival next week. Can you come and preach? This is not the time. As you are coming out, they pushed him. Hey, start going. Say where? You see that? That's a dry line. Say go. This is how those who came before you didn't last. They started attending programs. Do you think it takes God one day to announce you? when he's ready, he will create a problem, and you will be the only Moses that day with your staff. Don't die and waste your time on the popularity and validity. The social media that will lift you up, they will bring you down. Didn't they lift up? Are you not? Can't you remember people that social media put them up there and they were popular? So they started dragging them on Twitter again. You want to live for the approval of men, you will never be the servant of Christ. Never. So please establish that when the Holy Spirit comes upon a man and he wants to do something concrete with him, the first thing he will do is that he will train him for that season. Please note that. Write that down somewhere. The Holy Spirit will train him for that season. And the way he does that is he will isolate the man. One of the ways he will isolate you is he will now tell you, for the year 2026, first 7 days of every month, I want to see you. As if you are not there before. He will now say, sir, how do we go about it? He will say, 4 a.m., I need to see you in your parlor. We start praying. You pray 4 to 6. Then 10 p.m. at night, I want to see you 10 to 1. 5 hours every day. He will tell you what to do with the time. This is why many pastors are also not effective. You think that your job involves listening to everybody. You cannot listen to anybody and help them without the permission of the one who has called you. Which means if I say God has called me, I should spend more time with him than with you. Because if I spend more time with you, the unction I need, which is from his presence, I can't be with you and be with him. So I must make a decision to spend time with him so that when I have to talk to you, every word I say is significant. So things will change next year. Yeah. Because the help you are looking for, you want God to use me to bless you, you must also make room for me to be with him. If not, I cannot help you. I cannot help you. Pastor, we have been trying to get you. You are so hard to find. You are too busy. Okay, let me tell you the cheat code. That man you have been trying to see, whoever he is on this planet, call him and ask him, sir, is there any challenge you need? I'm available. I want to come and help you fix anything that you... Okay, please come. That's the day you will know he's available. You want to talk to somebody that you respect and you cannot go straight to the point. See, it's a Nigerian problem. We are storytellers naturally. So we don't appreciate people's time. You don't know that 10 minutes is a lot of time. You don't know it yet. That 10 minutes is a lot of time for someone to sit down and be listening to you. 10 minutes. You must be a strong man. I'm telling you how we are going to make progress next year, whether it's in your office or your business. Those clients that you say are always shouting at you, go and ask them, mama, when is your birthday? Write it down. Your husband's birthday, your children's birthday. Be the first to call them on their children's birthday. Mama, God bless you. It's Dami's birthday. The Lord will bless him. I've posted him on my status. Nobody will take that client from you because they can see that you are thoughtful. You see, this your prayer. It won't help you. Your prayer must give you wisdom. You know how to become relational. Not a pest, relational. When they think that you should not remember, then you remember, like, wow, she even remembered. For those of you that are so lucky, you forget your birthdays. You don't know how lucky you are. But if someone now calls you and says, happy birthday, ma. Happy birthday. You say, is it today? Thank you. You're actually the first to have called me. They will not forget. Say, God, give me customer. He's not customer. You have bad character. We need to work on this one first, so that you will not destroy the. Because if Mary has bad character, she will not let Gabriel land. She will blast him. How can you tell me? Don't you know I'm a servant of God? Don't you know I'm a virgin? Don't you know I keep myself for Jesus? Don't you know I'm a man of God? Say, you must be a shitani. You must be an evil spirit. She will blast the guy out, blast him back to heaven. And who are you to tell me? The word of God says that none shall be barren land. She'll start quoting the Bible for Gabriel. Meanwhile, Gabriel came to the... It's like we have to look for another person. This one, If we put the baby in her, she will kill it. So your wilderness, and can we define wilderness? The wilderness season is that moment in your life where everything is supposed to be working, but it is not. Your business may even be doing fine, but you are not even seeing the money. But the money is there, but you can't touch it. It's that season where you have to walk by faith. Because even though God will supply manna from heaven, but the Israelites still needed to walk by faith. And they did it for 40 years. God did not bypass that process for them. That journey was supposed to be for, 14 days? 14, and it took 40 years. Everyone who came out from Egypt never saw the promised land. Never. So we are going to review that journey in 2026. We'll break it into pieces. So we have agreed that wilderness is your training ground. This is how people get to the point where they now know. The definition of wilderness, give it to me. A neglected or abandoned area. Uncultivated. Uninhabited. Inhospitable. That means you are not going to get an air conditioning there. In that moment, the Lord may not permit you to bathe for 3 days. You may not brush. You are just with Him, with the glory of God. Blessed by the presence of the Lord. But no water. How many of you want to have that experience? Hallelujah. Where you are in God's presence for 3 days, 7 days, that when you even bring your hand close to your mouth, the odoriferous smell and anointing can kill a battalion of mosquitoes. That's how anointed you are. Your breath is becoming anointed. Just take it, they are healed. It's a repellent. Your breath sends demons far away. But not on a plate of fried rice. Because some people are planning to guide fried rice this afternoon. So after, you know, pastor normally tells us to break after every Sunday service. I want to have fried rice with chicken. They can see it right now. And it's not a bad thing. But I'm just telling you that peradventure, the part of the definition for the wilderness is that it's inhospitable. Is the kind of place you go to. They put you in that hotel. You'll be raining curses on them. The water is not working. The heater is not working. The bed is doing. If you turn, it makes noise. If you turn like this, it makes noise. Ah! The mosquitoes are waiting. Close your eyes. They come for you. See, this church that invited me, they didn't do well. Say, when can I go back to Lagos? There are places I visited at the airport. I was buying, as I was landing, I was buying Quartem. Because I could not complain. Just manage. I know that this one, part of the money they give me is for treating malaria. Someone invited me to Ekpoma. After such an a glorious encounter, revival in that city. There's one bad road going to Ekpoma that used to, if you are not a good driver, you will meet your maker. You know that, who knows, apart from him, who knows that route towards it? Oh, you don't travel. Iru aside, if it was Pastor Charles and I that went, when he wanted to cross that, I just did like this. I closed my eyes. I didn't want to think. What? The next day they say, we have another encounter, one special. I said, no problem. I turned off my phone. Don't kill me. I don't have faith too. I'm just trying. Let's look at the areas that the Holy Spirit considered important. Put up that scripture. Immediately, can you see what I was saying? God bless you. The Holy Spirit drove in. Okay, what are you doing here? There's an attitude to it. See that place. You want to sit down and be shaking their hand. Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. You had the encounter. Out of everybody, you. Pursue him. In case you want to buy massa. You know, in every church, you have people that sell things around. You want to buy and say, are you the one that entered the altar? That is, yeah. Well, God bless her. Well done, sir. Don't buy massa. Do you know massa? Ah, my God. It's what we eat in the north. You want to buy doya? Do you know doya? A fried plantain. Fried yam. You know, so you want to buy. And because now, the Holy Spirit is, you need strength. That time the Holy Spirit came on you, all your strength, you know, dissipated. Now you need strength to trek home. You want to buy doya. And yeah, you want to add yaji. And or kose. Kose is akara. You want to buy kose and be eating. People will be greeting. Well done. Ah, brother, God bless you. They'll be waving to you. That's how some people waved and the encounter left them. Be laughing. Shebi, you know that they drove Jesus. It's because so that they drove him. They didn't allow him to look back. I forgot my jot. Leave it. Keep going. My Bible, I just bought it. Leave it. It's a blessing for someone. Pursued him. And when he got to the wilderness, quickly, let's look at Luke chapter 4. And being 40 days tempted of the devil, that's verse 2. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Verse 3, quickly. And the devil said to him, the devil waited till his flesh became malleable for temptation. The devil didn't come on the first day. He didn't come on the second day. He waited. The problem is that you don't understand that spirits can wait. You still don't understand that Satan can wait for you 20 years to get you. You are the one who think he has forgotten about you. He will allow you live in your sin perpetually and then show up 25 years and hold you. Every authority you have to resist him would have been gone. The same way God can wait until a Saul becomes a Paul, he will wait. Spirits have the ability to wait. You must understand. So one of the areas of discipline that you must develop is patience. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. If not, no matter your anointing encounter, you will be nothing. You won't amount to anything. The scripture said, pull up that scripture. It says, and the devil said unto him, Satan spoke into his ears. He said, if you are the Son of God, why was the issue of his sonship coming up? Because when the Holy Spirit came upon him by the river, that was the utterance that came forth. This is my beloved Son. Whether you believe it or not, we want to test it. You that say you are the Son of God, I want to test it. They waited for him because when people are hungry, they doubt, they can doubt their prophecy. Eh? When things are not working, say all this prophecy is over me. All this Theophilus Sunday song we are singing every day. Is this the way my life is supposed to be? Is this the way? Eh? Brother Marcus, look at my life. I'm a graduate. They will wait for you. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. The first area that Satan wanted to test was his appetite for self-satisfaction. It was not the eating that was the problem. It was whether this is the time when you should be eating. Are you with me? It is whether this is the time. That's why the scripture says, they that compare themselves with others, they are not wise. Because the timing and the calendar of God over your life is different. You may be in a season of prayer. And you meet someone that says, not by prayer. Go and check him. He has prayed before. I follow the history of many people who preached that message in Nigeria. 1 year, there were times a whole year they fasted. One of them fasted till blood came out. You see someone, you fry his head, you do everything, and be singing like a bird, like a dove. He fasted till he collapsed, and they admitted him in the hospital. You're not asking. He said, don't fast. Go and listen to his old message. Go and listen to his old message.
One pastor, he said people will fight in church. They will fight during service. They don't people that have been hiding themselves out there during service. They have to don't do that. They take them aside. One of them, the choir, they were singing. They started fighting on the stage. Choir, the choir members. The pastor, out of anger, removed his belt, started flogging. They want to spoil this church on my head. But now I sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Tell us, how did you get here? Tell us. I have your old message. So when they were fighting, he went to God. These people want to do this. God says, start fasting and praying. That's what God told him. I didn't forget what you said. I was going to church that Sunday morning when I heard him say it. I said, you? Are you in our church? Hallelujah. They never jam you. When they jam you, you will know that Jesus prayed. Paul and Silas, they prayed, they sang. Say you are born again. Those demons don't know about that. You are the one that is telling us that we are not aware. We'll test you and see if you are the Son of God. I said, we will test you. That's what they did to him. We are not sure. Is he the one? Because when God said, this is my son, he did not say anything. Let's test him and see. Put food on his table. The first couple on earth, it was food we used. The scripture took it a step further. He said Adam was not deceived, which means when he was eating that thing, he knew what he was doing. Say, let's test this one. Whoever the real son of God is, he will have power over his stomach. Hey. Whoever, we don't know him all, but whoever, maybe you are the one, maybe you are the one. That man, that person, we have power over his stomach. I don't know anybody that ate and his destiny amounted to anything for long. It's not a doctrine, no. I'm just following Jesus. Question. When Jesus got into that wilderness, was there any record of the Holy Spirit saying fast? Hello? Did the Holy Spirit say fast? Did we hear when God said, you are my son? Did we hear when the Bible said he was hungry? There are situations that will compare fasting on you. When you look around, no light, no water, no money to go from Mowe to Ikeja. You look around. I think it's time for us to wait upon the Lord. You will convert by force. Huh? By force fasting. You start praying. You didn't plan to fast too. But now the environment has dictated the mood. Your belly. You want to encounter the power of God, you must have power over it. And when I talk about food, I'm not talking about food alone. Anything that gives your body pleasure. If I don't dance in a day, I cannot feel normal. You must have power over it. The desire that comes from 100,000 likes and shares and subscribers, you must have power over it. The power to be validated by men and women. And brother, if you are married, I gotta warn you. Don't say you got married. Keep appreciating your wife. There are people outside telling her how wonderful she looks. I came to warn you. Appreciate her. Even when they just come to the house, you see a letter on the table. You don't appreciate me. I have gone. I just mutilo. So. Even if you say she doesn't look like she used to look before, at least she gave you 3 children, Abby. So appreciate that. Be tell her you look wonderful. If she say, am I fat? Say no. You're not fat too. It's like you don't want to eat this night. She asked if she's fat, and you said yes. Yo. Don't play that game. I'll call you out. I'll give you guys some tips later. Don't try that. Don't. They don't want to hear the truth, though. Just tell you. I said, okay. Yeah, argue with your keypad. When she pack out of the house, I will say, did I not warn you? On a lighter note, amen. Because that's the way somebody heard in this message now. The way she's even laughing, I'm getting afraid. You know? You see, as you get older, you find there's always one wonderful thing about your spouse that you didn't see before. You know? So, amen. Hallelujah. Amen, sir. So, but this service is not about you. So I don't want to come out of the anointing and be doing all these things. So. But there will be time for that. Amen. After this fasting. Amen. Jesus responded. And he said to the devil. So, first of all, Jesus recognized who was talking. Jesus recognized. You know, when the devil said, turn these stones to bread, the moment he heard it, the hunger pangs increased. It wasn't, look at stone now, can test whether the anointing is working, test it. The moment he said test it, the stomach squeezed him. This one looks like a big stone. If I do three of this on one in the morning, because now the fast is over, but nothing to even break. So the thing is, we keep fasting because there's nothing. It's a big stone. Tear it like this. Jesus turned five loaves and two fishes into 5,000. Because you will now realize that it's not that God is against increase, it's the timing. Because later, Jesus still turned five loaves and two fishes to feed thousands. But if you have no self-control, the power of God will not be stable inside of you. So make peace with the fact. It's not about fasting, it's about control. Even when you are not fasting, stay away from food. Tell yourself no. Personally, when I write exams or I study, when I want to study, because some of us, we don't study for long. We just look for corners and we enter. But there's one principle that I know has always worked. Don't eat before any exam. It's scientifically proven, no. Whether it's tea, biscuit, no. It's not a spiritual reason. It's a medical reason. Because science has proven that when you don't eat in the morning, all the blood flows to your brain and it heightens your mental ability. But you ate eba and whatever in the morning, and then your mom now pray for you as you are going for this exam, God will go with you. Then you now came back, sir, I was sleeping the exam more. Then I woke up late, I finished. You are a suspect. Yeah, you have to train your children, they have to know. So don't play around. Why was the subject of food the first thing that Satan raised over his head? That's what happened to the first Adam. And Satan follows pattern and history. Again, the issue is not about not eating. It's about self-control. And it's not self-control in the flesh. You must trust the Holy Spirit to give you the grace to look at something and say no. Again, like I mentioned earlier, Jesus identified who was talking. What is the key to understanding or knowing who is talking to me? I want to give you the answer today. Because some people specialize in saying something told me. Something. When I was praying, something. When I went to that man, so something told me to go and talk to that man. Something. Mr. Something. The key to becoming proficient in differentiation in the spirit realm is to first be close to only one voice. Is to what? To be close to only one voice. And I tell you, this particular thing you have heard, one of the keys that will help you is to be very particular about the type of songs you sing. Because songs attract spirits. If I come and I say, everybody look, look, it's a praise song, we'll dance. But I can assure you, that one will not bring the voice. But you can try it. You see, that kind of sound is playing. That one will give you what you are looking for. Because there is a law in the spiritual realm that is called the law of repetition. And that is where chanting comes from. And that was what the people who worship Diana, that when Paul went to preach in their city today, and they talk about the unknown God, they were chanting only one thing for about 3 hours. And people were coming to strangle Paul, and they didn't even know why they were doing it. Great is the goddess of Diana. Great is Diana, the goddess of Diana. Great is Diana. The people started rushing into the market, and they were trying to strangle Paul. They didn't even know it. People can be moved with songs. People can be moved with words. Don't play games. I'm telling you what, when we want to, even when we are very confused, we want to draw near to God, this is what you do. Holy, holy, are you, Lord God Almighty? What is left? What is left? You are holy.
You reign, Lord, you reign
forever.
Yes, you reign. call him like this, believe me what I'm telling you, that you are on a journey. You will get to it. And I speak after my own experience. You just see that you are clothed in a different garment. It's as though you are now putting on the garment of your priesthood. You are now able to come. You enter into a realm where there are only voices. You begin to perceive. You begin to know things. All of a sudden, scriptures will start coming to you. Because this is not a meeting to discuss problems. It's a meeting where you just want to stay with him. Listen to me. The next time the devil tries to control your belly, lift up a song in worship to God. And take the attention off your belly and put it on God. Then you will begin to find that grace has already been given for you to be stronger. Listen to me, there is greatness on your inside if only you can find the key of self-control. Listen. Unfortunately, we don't have time because I want us to close and just go. But I am emphasizing this because we have been waiting upon the Lord. And you need to know that it is not hunger strike. It's not hunger strike. It is your training. It is your training. It's part of your training. Fasting is spiritual training. And it's not even only Christians that do it. Go and see what Buddhists and Taoists in Asia are doing. 120 days. Listen, you have an advantage. You have an advantage. I sat in the midst of Muslims for many years. We never sang to Allah. We never. Allah did not promise us anything. He didn't even promise us heaven. The Quran states that when you die, you first go to hell. I'm telling you. Then, when God now wants to save you, he will use one Christian or a Jew to replace you. Then bring you out. He can't even give you direct access to heaven. The Allah that we were following for years, we were sitting and be shouting, did not have the password. Where he is staying, he doesn't know the password. He has forgotten it. So the only way he can do it is he will first send all of you to hellfire. No matter how righteous you are. Go and read your Quran. Well, sorry, you don't have Quran. The Quranic scripture states clearly that God will substitute every Muslim with a Jew or Christian. It's in the Quran. It's in the Quran and the Hadith. You will substitute. Then you will come out. In other words, the Christians are the ones that are supposed to be in heaven. So they will now substitute. And I say you are a demon. You are a liar. You are not serving the same God. I don't care if I'm on national television. We are not serve your God. Let me serve my God, but we are not serving the same God. My own God has a son, and his name is Jesus. I love you. I love you. I can walk with you in the office, but we don't. Please don't play that game. Don't play smart, because I will use your Quran to preach to you. I will even use Bible. Our God permits us to have an experience with him. An experience. When you have that experience back to back, you will, over time, you will know how to find him. You say, this one, like Daniel, give me one night. Daniel said, give me one night. Daniel went one night, entered into another man's dream. God doesn't permit anyone to know what is in the mind of another person. Even Satan, Daniel was not a pastor, he was a politician. Daniel entered a king's dream, saw the dream like this, came back and told him this. They reminded the man, hey, it's true, and you saw it. Or there, you had a dream you could not remember. A man who moved, excuse me, Daniel was not born again. How about you? The scripture says the glory of those days was this massive. How much more? Do you know what is living on your inside? And you sell yourself for food. When they wanted to destroy between Jacob and Esau, when they wanted to destroy the brother, what did they use? It was food. He had the inheritance. It was not that day that the father asked for venison that he lost it. It was the day he could not control his appetite. They say, hey, what is food? I say, I'm dying. Give me food, Joe. Ah, this thing is okay. In other words, I can pray about it later. Three fasting, we said to it. I know who I am in Christ.
I know the anointing I carry. Sir, 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 anything you say in the moment of ecstasy can be used against you. The inheritance was for Esau, but his belly, no control. God put those scriptures in the Bible for us to see how greater men than us missed it. If you walk into a king's house and they give you food, what is the biblical prescription? He said, put a knife to your throat. In other words, slice your own throat. What does that mean? If a man slices his throat, is he thinking of surviving or eating? That means don't eat. Wow, this is French donut. MJ, this is different from the one we saw at see your eyes. Donut. This is Christmas. Some people are preparing to how many people they are going to visit. How can you say you're a Christian and you eat like a thief? I mean, that the hand of God is over you. Jacko could add no control. That's what killed him. As I'm talking about someone like Pastor, in the days of William Braham, Wigglesworth, and others, Jacko, as anointed as he was, he couldn't control himself. He became very obese. That's what killed him. He didn't die. The devil took advantage of his weakness. It wasn't his time. The revival ended suddenly because of one man's appetite. You go before a king's house and they give you food. You are not aware that table in front of you is a test. They want to evaluate your sense of decision making. Even if you come to my house, I'm watching the way you eat. Yes. Yes, I want you to know now. That's what kings do. Kings don't stay in charge of their country or their kingdom by dozing. They stay in charge by being observant. Those ones that ate, when Daniel was put in that room, nobody knows their name today. But we know Meshach. We know Abednego. We know Shadrach. We know Daniel. Do you think that Daniel got to the king's palace and started eating? They knew him. He said, this one, no, they chop. He was a prince in that land. You would see him in the morning going to the bush beside to get vegetables. He will make it the way they prepare it in Israel. In Israel, he doesn't want to get used to this Babylonian thing they are doing. Some people were slaves in Babylon. They forgot that they were slaves. They were enjoying. It took a man who knew 70 years we are supposed to be out of here. Shahikata, Rabakata. According to prophecy, 70 years, the time is fulfilled. Lord, he began to pray. They would have died and perished there. One man's prayer saved the nation. Do you know how powerful your prayer is? One man's prayer saved the nation. One man's prayer can save a family. One man's prayer can change the pattern in a family. One man's prayer can deliver 2026 into your hands. One man's prayer. One man's prayer. Do you know how powerful your prayer is? Do you know how powerful if you just settle down and get serious? One man's prayer save the whole nation. No prayer partner. Control your belly. Eat for strength. Don't eat for gluttony. Eat for strength. Stop that bad habit. Say extra, 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 4 times. Look at verse 4 of that scripture. Luke chapter 4. Beautiful scripture. Let's round up here. I will not rush any message again. I will be saying small, small. But we are talking about how to encounter the power of God. I want you to look at the response of Jesus. Because we can be doing the same thing, but our motivation is different.
Yes, sir.
Some people don't eat. They don't like that food. It's not that they don't want to eat. They don't like that type of food. They don't eat fish.
Give them pan de diam. Fry the beef separately. Eh? Do the thing, egusi, or bring the amala. Pour the widow and begiri on top. Don't put it in a plate. Pour it on top of the amala. What are you talking about? By the time I come into the house, glory to God. The Lord is in this house. Amen. When I see the glory that is on that table, waiting, famala, and a wedu and begiri with stew, and I'm seeing the liver and the kidney, and I'm seeing all those things. Say, Pastor, we're just about to pray. Don't pray. Let's eat. We pray after. The man of God is here. Let's eat. I've been on a journey for 7 days. The Lord said I should come here, that there's a provision. Amen.
Amen.
So let's eat first. Don't, because if I say I should wait, I may die before I'm able to pray. So let me eat so that I can pray later. Amen. So some people say, I don't eat. I am a man of God. It's a lie. It's the food they put there. He doesn't eat fish. Doesn't like fish. So tell us, what this thing you said, I don't want to eat, what's your real motivation? Look at what Jesus said. It is written at the comic way that man, you see, when he used the word man, he was generalizing, which means that this is the way they designed us to eat. This is the way God is, when in the beginning, when God said, let us make man, his idea of man is that they don't live by their belly. Early in the morning, fresh egg roll. Look at what Jesus. Do you want to look at? Because some people say, I want to be like Jesus. Look at it now. Look at it. Don't go anywhere before you enter the spirit realm. Let me show you. Farabale, look at it. Jesus said, and anything Jesus said is doctrine, it's not suggestion. Jesus said, man shall not, must not. You are not permitted to live by bread alone. What is this? This is the life of a man that is given to vanity. He said, you should not live by bread alone. You should not be hustling because you are going to work. No, we need to make sure we make money so we can eat and feed our family. That is not why we brought you here. You know, man of God, money is very important. I say, yes. Man shall not live by bread alone. The way you are sounding, I'm getting very concerned. He said, but by every word of the Lord. Why this emphasis? Because what determines the season in any man's life is not his bank account, it's not his personal satisfaction, but what God is saying. Which means if God says it is well with you, let the old world collapse. That word will keep you.
Amen.
If God says, I will take care of that situation, that is what you should take to the bank and be confident. Don't let your confidence be in your brother who is a gynecologist in America. Rubbish. Jesus said, man was not created. When we built the framework for what man should look like, he was not supposed to be dependent on things like food or anything that gives earthly satisfaction. Man was built to be sustained by the word of the Lord. So the motivation for not turning the stones to bread was revelation. Jesus had revelation about who he was, and he knew there are places you will not eat. There are places, even as you are going, God will say, this is where you should eat. Is it time for you to eat? What time is it in your life? What time is it? Ask yourself. Because you see all this winning that is happening to you now. You understand? You need to ask yourself, is it God or is it self-induced? Because if you are eating when God says this is not the time for food, there's a brother, one of my brothers, I love him so much in this church. He did not fast when we were fasting. Then that was mid-July month of prayer. Then immediately after the prayer, he had a challenge, a very big challenge. Then he called me. I said, let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, said, stop. I stopped. The Lord said, ask him. Tell him I said you should ask him. The fasting we just concluded, did he fast? Eh. The way I said it was, the Lord said, ask him, that the Lord said. So I asked him, I said, bro, the Lord said I should ask you. That this fasting, that did you fast?
He said, Pastor, I'm not lying. Pastor, I'm not lying. I'm sorry.
I was looking at the guy, whether to slap him or to do. I said, you did not fast. He said, sometimes I tried. I broke by 9 a.m., 10 a.m. I said, well, I must commend you that you did not lie. Because the one who told me to ask you already knows you did not fast. But maybe you will be honest. Or you will still keep lying the way your forefathers lied when they ate the apple in the garden. Or whatever it is they ate. Will not determine whether you will be saved. I said, so the Lord said I should not pray for you. You think if you say you hear God, you will hear hard things. My son, it is well with you. It is your blessed. That's one level. You're a baby. When you begin to hear God, you will wake up in the morning like, you say, where are you going? You say, no, 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 no. Shut down that laptop. No. Stay here. Stay here. We have a very long conversation. Let's start from Ezekiel chapter 3. That day you know you have entered it. Start canceling all your meetings. I don't like it when Christians make give us time. He said we should meet here by 9. He's not here. I cannot come. I'm sorry. Those who know who have ownership over me say I should not leave this room. You want to hear God? You will hear him, no problem. In fact, God said we should recruit people today. That he wants to start talking to them. You want to hear him? He's been waiting for you. He will barge into your privacy without permission. He will cancel your dates. Yay. What are you talking about? He promised the girl, when we go there, you walk on my next level for you chop, you enjoy yourself. Go, you will go for the date and you'll be dead. Only the girl will be eating. And you will pay. Shebi, you say we should train you. Okay. And then say no. Are you sure you don't want anything? Say no. Maybe just water. Say, are you sure you have money? Say there's money. If you start explaining to her that you live under a particular government that determines what you can do, she will not marry you. Meanwhile, as you are punishing yourself with that girl, she's eating, you are looking at her. In heaven, they are enjoying. Because somewhere, somebody just gave his life to Christ. The Bible says anytime someone gives life, there's party in heaven. So they are enjoying. They are enjoying. They are feast, everything. And they damn everything. You are the one suffering. Say, man shall not live. This was the error. What could have happened to Adam was that the moment Eve came and saw Eve in that state, he should have rebuked her. You must know when you are a man of God and when you are a husband. Two different people. What we refer to as husband is a ministry. It's a headship ministry. It's not a careless thing that one person that drank the remaining alcohol that they used to do only communion now join two of you. Now I told you that you are now married. Let's clap for the latest couple. That one is wedding. You see, marriage as husband is a ministry, wife is a ministry, and wife is not cooking. I said to be a wife doesn't mean you can't. The men are not talking now. Let's share the grace in fellowship. I said, hello. Some of you that are shouting, I hope you heard what I said. I didn't say you won't cook. I said cooking is not the sign that you are a wife. Because if being a wife is a ministry, if anybody outside that marriage can give me that thing, like cooking, then what are you? That thing you say is the reason why you are in this marriage. If I can get it outside, then that is not the definition of marriage. It's a ministry. Kenneth Hagin was ministering and he was living in disobedience. Kenneth Hagin, he was living in disobedience, and at some point the Lord kept warning him and he refused. And the Lord kept warning him, and the Lord revealed to his wife, "I'm going to take your husband today because he's living in disobedience." That's what it means to be a wife. If your husband's transmitting system fails, there should be a backup in the wife. Who told you being a wife is about cooking a dikaiko and all that? I can, if I have money, I can get a chef. What do you mean? Does that make the chef my wife? There's a level of money. When I have it, I will not allow my wife cook again. Sit down and watch the financial news. What is happening to the dollar? What's happening to Europe? Be watching that one. Oh, say, what's for breakfast? Don't, what's your problem down? Let the person that this she's collecting aside, let her figure it out. Amen. Kenneth was living, so God gave him a particular caution and he refused to listen. And God went to the wife and said, "Today I'm going to take your husband." The husband was preaching, he collapsed on the altar. People were rushing, trying to, the guy was gone. Kenneth Hagin, our father of faith. The wife went before the Lord and said, "Lord, I take ownership. I take responsibility. Lord, bring him back. He will obey you. He will obey you. Just let me talk to him. He will obey you." The man came back. That's a wife. It's authority. To be a wife is to have spiritual authority. Not to be dancing. Thanksgiving. After you finish dance, I hope you have authority to cast out snakes and scorpions. When we got married, they packed the remaining rice, the jollof rice, everything. They put it at home for we should be eating. Because that's why we married. Be eating. Some of you had... John, did you have some extra... So, for 3-7 days, the woman did not cook. Just warm the thing you eat. Just warm the thing. Then one day, rice started growing on your. You drank the remaining soft drink, drank wine, drank everything. After all, it's your money. Now, pay attention. Jesus raised a very salient point, and we'll probably end here, in that answer that he gave Satan. When he said, man shall not live. The word live there is the word zaho, Z-A-O. In the original translation, it means to be quick. To be quick. You know, the Bible said the word of God is quick and powerful. It means there is the essence of life. The way life is defined and seen from God's realm. It's not just natural life. He said, man shall not live. You shall not be quick. You know, the time that word quick was used, it was put beside. The word of God is quick and powerful. That means there's an element of power that goes with being quick. That quick is a type of, it's a character that goes with life. That anytime they see quick, they see power. The scriptures in Hebrews chapter 4, the word of God is quick and powerful. Other translations say living, alive and powerful. So that quick is the word zaho. Which means that this life has an element in which it exudes power. It attracts power. So when he said, man shall not live, he was talking about a type of life that manifests power. You cannot manifest power if you live on your belly. You will just be a shell. But the essence, the spiritual authority, you will never have it if you are given to your belly. I'm not saying don't eat. I say if you are given
to your belly, if you cannot see food and take your eyes away, if you are giving to your belly, you will have life, but you will not have authority. Say, but that man shall be what? Put up that scripture. He said he lives by every word, which means that man knows that God always has something to say. If you wake up this morning, don't assume God has something to say. If you find yourself in the office and you feel very strange, pay attention. Stop what you are doing. God may be saying something to you. God has something to say in every season. The word of the Lord must lead you into every season. Some of us we are just a few days away from 2026. And I'm asking you, has the Lord begun to say anything to you? Or are you still confused? Because whether 2026 will be a change of calendar or a change of season, it depends on what you hear. I said depends on what you hear. Whether 2026 will be a change of calendar or it will be a change of divine season, it depends on what you hear. I will prefer you take the next 6 months and fine-tune this one so that the next 40 years can be guaranteed. There are things that God will find in you. He will now put some shield of protection around you because there is investment here. There is a level of divine investment. When the Lord sees how far you have taken the time to control certain parameters that human beings are given to, and you've caught yourself, you say, this one, we need to come around him. And one of those things is in the area of pleasure, the area of food. This is the Jesus model for experiencing the power of God. So it's not just fasting. It's living a fasted life. Did you hear me? Salakanoko Sabiata. Shabara kete sokoloboran sahikano koparate sete. See you I and lifted up. Let's rise on our feet. Shining in the light of your glory.
Pour out your power and love. We sing holy, 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 holy. I want to see you. I want to see you. We want to see you. I 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 want to see you. Invade my privacy. Invade my life. Invade my privacy. I give you permission. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. I give you permission. Invade my privacy. Invade my privacy. I want you. I want you. Invade my privacy. Invade my privacy. Invade my privacy, O God. Visit me, inhabit me. Visit me, inhabit me. Visit me, inhabit me. Zakatale bakarata kase hadala basata. Rabakase tekele bosota katala basita ya kasata dada. We want to see you.
We want to see you.
We want to see you. We want to see you. We want to see you.
We want to see you, Jesus.
We want to see you.
Some men came from the land of Greece just after Jesus had finished preaching, and Jesus was sleeping in the afternoon. And they came to Peter and they said to him, "We want to see Jesus." I don't know why this, most of these people here, they live around here, but we came from Greece. We came from very far. We want to see Jesus. And they woke Jesus up. And what did Jesus say to them? He said, "You want to see me?" He said, "They set a corn of wheat, falls to the ground. You want to see me? Ah, let me tell you the condition. Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies. You want to see me? You will take your cross. You cannot live anyhow. When a man carries a cross, the burden of that cross is what he feels. He doesn't have the space for a cup of coffee. He doesn't have the space to go after the burden upon him. Jesus acknowledged that there was a burden. He said, "But that burden is light." He said, "So come, let me give you a cross. You want to follow me? You want to see me? I give you a cross." When you show up before him, does your worship remind God of passion? When you sing to him, when you are alone in your room and you sing to him, does God feel the energy of your passion?
We want to see you. We want to see you.
That's my prayer.
I want to see you. I want to see you.
I want to see you.
I want to see you.
When the Lord asked Moses to come to the mountain and see him, God never told him that he would spend 40 days. You see, we have a lie that has been told to us that when we spend time in God's presence, we are wasting our time. What they didn't tell us is that there are things you don't get in God if you don't stay. God never told Moses that 40 days. He just told him to come. "I want to give you something." First day, second day. The people he was pastor, he said the man had died. No discernment. A man of anointing, pastoring people, whose absence made them fall away from God. One of our brothers here moved to the UK and he started attending a particular church there. And when he got there, first day, the pastor preached. Message was 20 minutes. Then he said that maybe because it's Sunday. They said you should come on Saturday. That Bible study is on Saturday. And that's okay. Saturday, everybody's at home. Maybe they will take time to preach. He said everything. 45 minutes, they were true. He now asked his wife, "How do you people survive here? How do you survive here?" And say, "Most of us still connect to our Nigerian churches." The pastor, the brother called me. Say, "Pastor, say thank you. I know what it feels like to be in church and experience God. Now that I'm somewhere else, I know the difference." He said, "Thank you." "Ah," I say, "I feel for you. Unfortunately, your pastor there cannot help you. Because all you need to define my appetite is to introduce me to something higher. You have tasted the better wine. Now they are asking you to come and take something you've left. I cannot. I cannot." Sometimes you will stay in God's presence like this, 3 hours, and that's all you'll be saying. "I want to see you." That's the prayer. "I want to see you." When they look at the record of your prayer, only one line.
"I want to see
you. Oluwa mo fe ri o se.
I want to see you.
Say, I want to see you. So that my life can have true meaning.
I want to see you. Say, I want to see you.
I want to see.
In that moment, as you are staying there, I'm talking to you about how to find God. The problem is not God's hand coming upon you at the water where you are baptized. The what we are talking about is, do you have what it takes when you are alone in a wilderness situation and you find God? The scripture says in the later part of that chapter that when Jesus returned, he returned in the power of the Spirit and his fame spread abroad. No flyer. No flyer. No flyer. No social media account. His fame. Because now God knows that this one, 40 days without his mother, this one that has never left his mother, 40 days. The reward for his waiting was power. The reward for his waiting was what? Was power. Those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Those who do not wait will deplete in strength. Your strength is to be by him. Your strength is to be with him. Your strength is to be with him. That the energy you need to possess strength is to be with Jesus. Alekara itasaida. Teach your children. Let them know. Tell them. This is the secret of your mother. Tell them. This is the secret of your father. There is not anything you see. This is what is producing it. Tell your husband. Tell your wife. Jesus is the head of this house. We only do what his word tells us. My authority as the husband is seconded to the authority of Jesus. If you are a fervent Christian as a brother, you now marry a woman that is passive, that is not fervent. Call your wife and say, Madam, in this house, Jesus is the head. We pray in this house. In this house, Jesus is the head. We don't go late to church. In this house, Jesus is the head. We pray in tongues. We are fervent in spirit. The Bible says fervent in spirit. Worshiping the Lord. When you encounter him, one of the things he will give to you is fervency of spirit. You will not be cold again. When they ask you to pray, the fervency is flowing. Many Christians, when they pray, if you have never slept for two months, the spirit of slumber will come upon you, because that is the unction they carry. No fire. Where is the fire? I'm asking you, where is your fire? Where is your fire? When you meet with God, one of the things he bequeaths to you as a sign that you met him is fire. He gives you fire. It gives you fire. Fire in your spirit. Jeremiah said, I will not prophesy again in his name. He said, but I could not. He said, for his words were shot in me, in my bones, like flames of fire. You say you found him? Then show us the fire. We are waiting upon the Lord. We have 7 Mondays, and you have 7 days to secure the fire from his presence that we give you 2026. Don't play the next 7 days. Ask him for the fire, even right now. Ask him for the fire, the true fire of his presence. Ask him to give you the true fire that comes from his presence. Ask him to give you the true fire that comes from his presence. Give me the true fire. Give me the true fire. Let it fall upon me. Let it burn in my heart. Give me the true fire. Give me the true fire. Give me the true fire. I am too cold. I am too cold. I am too cold. I am too cold. I need the fire. 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 Listen to me. 2026 is ahead of you. I need the fire. I need the fire. I need the fire. I need the fire to break every soul tie. I need the fire to break away every shackle of darkness. I need the fire to break out of every limitation. Give me the fire, the true fire of your presence. Zekatala. Zekapara. Are you praying? Are you praying? Press on for two more minutes. Press on for two more minutes. Lift up your voice and pray. Ask for fire. Ask for fire. Ask for fire. Ask for fire. Pray, pray, pray. Let him hear your voice. Ask for fire. Ask for fire. Zekataha yemekaya. Hey, yalika makuta. Ask for fire. Ask for fire. Ask for fire. It is coming. It is coming. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Some of you may need to stay back after the service because we need to shut down and you need to take some time and pray. You see, your stamina is too low. You don't know it yet. People are psyching you. They are praising you. I am telling you that the reason why you are getting attracted to the wrong people, people who don't share your spiritual nature and fire, the reason why you are saying, we'll manage him, we'll manage her, I'm telling you there is danger at your doorstep. Your fire is too low. It's too low. You can't see what is going on around you. How can you walk if you are not guided? How can you walk if there is no fire to tell you where you are going to? Your fire is too low. And the way you are praying is telling me that, this one, there's a problem here. Shake off the beast into the fire. That beast of firelessness. Shake it up. Shake it off. We're going to press into 2026 with authority. We are going to enter into 2026 with divine authority. We are not going to go in begging. We are going to go in endued with power from on high. Azeleba. Rabba Shakatales. He said, those who trust in him, they will never be moved. Those who put their trust in the Lord, they will never be moved. Those who put their trust in the Lord, they will never be moved. Zia kumelaka. Zeketeli baruta hika. They will never be moved. Lift up your voice and pray and pray and pray and pray. Zekata yemalake. Zebrando kotaya likabaya. Zekata reshabai de sulara. Send us the fire. Send us the fire. Send us the fire. You say come and taste, see that the Lord is good. Rise on your feet. Oh, the joy of those who trust in you shall never ever be. That is the song of prayer champions. Aha! You say come
and taste, see that the Lord is good.
That is the song of champions.
Oh the joy of those who trust in you shall never ever be moved.
You say come
and taste, see that the Lord is good.
He's waiting for you. Oh, the joy.
Shall never ever be moved.